Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush. If you hear weird sounds, do you hear that?
Well, there's weird sounds on my end, too.
Does it sound like... You hear that? Sounds like a seal?
Oh, no. Yeah, what is that?
Well, we have across the street, there was a water main that burst, and they're out there working on it, so I think my pipes are just making noises.
Got it. While I have a small child making noises in my living room.
I heard those baby noises, Noel. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep.
Give me more.
I got him.
Give me crying. Give me cooing. Give me all that good stuff.
She's about to be three. She's not fully baby town.
Oh, okay.
She's a delight. I think I've talked about this. My daughter has a sort of like a work day on Wednesdays to do homework and outdoor activities and stuff. And my ex and dear friend is in a work transition thing where she's having to work on Wednesdays. So my daughter watches her baby sister on Wednesdays now while I'm working. And then when I'm off, I kind of go out and hang with them and we eat lunch and stuff. But it's really, really sweet. I kind of forgot that I really like little kids.
Little kids are the best. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel, we're short on time, so we're going to get cranking here. This is our final spooky mini crush of the season.
Yeah,
we are going to wrap it up with some Halloween horror content, and we'll see how much time we have here. I definitely have time for two segments, or you have time, but let's just go ahead and dive in. I asked the movie crushers very plainly, Noel, I want to know about a scene or a movie in general that truly disturbed you, like way beyond scared. Movie that really got under your skin in a disturbing way. And I'll let you think on your answer while I go with Jenna Van Valen, the original Pet Sematary. Old man gets down on his hands and knees to look under some furniture. And the little kid slices through his heel with a blade. Makes me queasy just remembering it. Haven't watched it since I was a teenager. And I still can't shake it. And Jenna got the most uplikes and hearts and replies.
Easily on my list. Scene. Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. She said the heel makes me gag and I never gag is what Jenna follows up with.
It's also a close up. Like it's that tendon. It would like disconnect so much shit in your body that would just render you like jelly like or something, you know, and then he falls down and then the little kid chews his throat out. And I just saw that movie way too young. And it really messed me up.
Leah Mitchell commented and said that I never let my feet dangle when I'm on the bed for this exact reason. Mm-hmm. Not about to get cut by a baby zombie.
No.
All right. One of our old friends, Austin Handler, says not a horror movie, but Pink Floyd's The Wall when I was in high school fucking terrified me. Even thinking about the music and the vocals from the courtroom scene still gives me willies 30 years later.
That's such a cool scene. And that piece, it's called The Trial.
Good morning, the worm, Mrs. Your Honor.
Yes, exactly. It's so good.
I know. Sorry,
and
Austin.
And like the judge looks like a giant butthole, kind of, you know? Like,
yeah, very much.
It's intense, man. Gerald Scarfe animation on that is it's next level weird.
Tyler Peters says, when I was young, the scene that truly horrified me was the beetle crawls under the guy's skin in The Mummy. Had nightmares for years about that one.
Oh, interesting. Not one I think of as like a super shocker because it's sort of a PG-13, but that is a little creepy. A lot of people have bug aversions too. I could see that.
Old friend Caroline Emily says everything about the doppelgangers characters in Us, specifically, I never know how to pronounce her last name. Lupita, is it Nyong'o?
Nyong'o, I believe, yes. Her voice, right?
Yeah, she says that her doppelganger character had nightmares for a week. Yeah, she was creepy. I mean, all the doppelgangers were good, but their movements and the way they kind of handled themselves is all very well done. I liked that movie. I thought it was good.
I liked it, too.
I think it got unfairly slagged because it wasn't Get Out at all. It was a little, it was different in where it went. And I thought it was a lot of fun and scary.
It felt like a Twilight Zone episode in terms of the twist, you know what I mean? But I loved it. I very much enjoyed it.
Well, and now that we know a little bit of his background and he's doing the Twilight Zone now, that he's clearly like a fan of that kind of that genre, which I am as well. Very old school. Bennett Duckworth was disturbed about the dead baby in train spotting and haven't viewed it since. And now that I'm a parent, I don't plan to. Probably a good idea, Bennett. That was fucked up.
Chuck, we've talked about stuff where you kind of turn a little bit when you become a parent.
For
things
sure.
that maybe you were okay with or could have given a pass to. Now it's sort of like off the table. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely. Josh and I did an episode on a disappearance and stuff you should know of a young girl that we had. I didn't want to do it. And I did it anyway. And I was pretty not into that episode. And it's pretty clear, I think, afterward, because we even had people that wrote in and said, Chuck, you clearly weren't into that episode. Why did you do it? So that wasn't my best effort. I should have risen above it. But it was about a girl who disappeared. And then I have a really hard time with that stuff now.
Well,
not that I ever thought imagine. It was great.
Oh, well, whatever.
You know what I mean? No, it really hit
totally.
Home. Yeah.
As you can imagine, with stuff that I want you to know, we do all kinds of grisly stuff like that. And we recently did an episode about a child murder in Europe. And it was, the guy they've found to have done it ended up having like all of these crazy Polaroids of children like in his van. And it was just, I had to stop midway through and kind of collect myself a few times. So,
yeah it's tough. Emily Simon says this movie is not well known, but The Woman, very disturbing and creepy film, more psychological horror than supernatural. Think it's worth a watch if you're interested in something outside the box, but fair warning, it's pretty gory. And Danny Michael commented and said, Emily, that movie is fucking bonkers. The Woman.
Yeah, I think it's about like a feral woman that's kept in like chained in a basement or something like
I see. Yeah, the interesting. That's like disturbing.
Gaunt and, you know, insane kind of thing, you know?
Ew. Yeah, do you hear that seal in here?
Oh, my goodness.
You hear that?
I do. I actually don't hear it on my end because I have the headphones kind of low.
Okay. But, I bet the listeners will hear it. Yeah. A little treat for you. Real life, everyone. Anna Serjan says the bathtub scene from Nightmare on Elm Street. I only caught part of the movie as a young kid. I could only take showers for several years after seeing that. But then you got Psycho fucking you up. So what, are you just going to not bathe? Bathtubs are ruined. Showers are ruined.
I used to be scared there was a shark in the pool.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
That's pretty common.
It's that vulnerability. Something about the water and the unseen thing beneath the surface that can be triggering and make you feel really vulnerable for sure.
What kind of pools were you swimming in, Noel?
Well, no, not in the pool situation, but okay. Definitely in the bathtub or the ocean. You know, like the ocean's always kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get freaked out by the ocean. I love swimming in the ocean. But when you're swimming in the ocean and something bumps up against you,
nope. It's
always a little bit like, I swim in lakes too, Noel. I'll swim in anything.
Chuck likes to swim.
I just like getting in bodies of water, natural bodies of water, no matter how cold they are. It's exhilarating.
Got it.
It's like the guy in My Octopus Teacher is free diving and without a wetsuit in very, very cold water. And he said there's something that happens after a couple of minutes. Your body adjusts and then it becomes a different thing entirely. And I totally agree. You just got to get through that initial blast of cold. Keith Workman says, I could not handle the scene where Toni Collette was banging her head against the ceiling in Hereditary. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was genuinely concerned for my health.
That's interesting. I know that a lot of people had very visceral reactions to that movie, and I did, certainly. We've talked about it because of the child angle, not to spoil anything, but there is something about that animalistic performance that she gives in that film that is just very... it gets you somewhere deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Our old friend Amanda Caron says the opening scene with the parents in Midsommar, the buildup and seeing the sister, truly disturbing. You know what, Noel? I know you and I both kind of agree about that movie. I'm going to give it another go soon. I'm going to give it a shot and see what I think, because I've heard other people say, I didn't love it the first time, but I really liked it better the second time.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to do that. And again, I think, Chuck, we didn't like hate it.
No.
We just, there were some parts about it that left us a little cold, but I think we both had things about it that we liked for sure.
Yeah. And I might even be down, even though I had problems with the length, with that director's cut if it's out, because I don't know. I usually think director's cuts are the way to go, so I'll give it a shot. Joshua Lagunas is right on the money, Noel, when he says the scene from Bone Tomahawk. One of those moments where you think, certainly they won't show it, and they did. I won't spoil it. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a great, great movie and a fucked up scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the scene in question just as a YouTube pull.
Oh, you haven't seen the movie?
I haven't seen the whole movie, but
the movie's great.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's tough. And yeah, I guess, is that on YouTube? Ooh.
The scene is, yeah. Just type in Bone Tomahawk.
Scene.
It's the one. Yeah, it's the one.
Sean McFarland, a top fan and old pal, says the tape that is circulated in the movie The Ring totally fucked me up. Nothing really scary, just incredibly creepy and disturbing. When the woman in the tape locks eyes with you, my God, it gave me chills.
It was well done. Yeah. Very well done.
Yeah, I saw that movie back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the rare examples where like an American remake of a Japanese horror was actually better than the original. Typically, I don't find that to be the case, but yeah. The original Ringu is okay, but the remake is like, it kind of takes it to the next level, in my opinion.
Yeah. New pal, welcome to the show, Matt Desbarbeau. He says something about the movie The Strangers, where he pushes that knife so slowly into one victim that's tied up. Didn't like that one bit. Yeah, a very slow, there was a very slow stabbing in Ex Machina as well. That was very effective.
Right.
And stabbings get me. I know they get you.
They do. And the slow one in particular, I was watching I follow a bunch of schlocky horror type pages on Instagram. And there's a movie called Curtains from like the 80s.
I know that movie. I didn't see it, but I know it.
I saw a trailer for it. And there's a slow stabbing just in the trailer. And it gave me the willies for sure.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Dogs are now barking at the workers. Seal is squeaking.
It happens.
This is really great.
We're working live here, folks.
Let me see here. Leonard Countryman, great name, says, sinister when the kid starts the mower and runs through the rain in the dark and his parents' heads are sticking out of the ground. Gets me every time. Oh, boy. Well, there are spoilers in here. I guess we should have said that at the beginning, but surely people know if we're talking about specific movie scenes.
Yeah.
Michelle Kendrick says this, Noel. The movie Don't Breathe. And the turkey baster. Didn't foresee that twist, and I thought about it for a few days afterward.
Let's just leave it at that.
Did I see that? Was that the one where they break into the house of the blind man?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty well done
movie. It was great. Yeah, it was really good.
I liked it. Who was that? Oh, that was the dude who did the Evil Dead remake, right?
I think that's right,
Chuck. Yes, Federico Alvarez. Yeah, he'll be doing something again soon. There's so many great new horror film directors, Noel.
Good.
New masters from Ari Aster to Robert Eggers, you might throw in the horror genre, and Jennifer Kent, my God, who did The Babadook, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Really great, great people
it's
working
It's been a
today.
Minute since The Babadook. Has she done anything since?
I don't think so. And you know what I haven't seen is... The Nightingale, which is another movie that she did, which is supposed to be really scary, but I have not seen that one yet.
I think it's so interesting when like it's someone picks a genre so specifically like that, you know, as a new filmmaker.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess, that, you know, people get obsessed with genres and stuff, but I did think it was interesting that Ari Aster sort of didn't choose horror. He just sort of like decided to pivot the script that he'd already written into horror, and now he's sort of this horror guy. But I wonder if he'll stick with that, or if he'll just like do like a period piece or something that's not horror at all.
Maybe. Actually, Nightingale was after Babadook. Set in the 1825 penal colony of Van Diemen's Land, present day Tasmania, a young female convict seeking revenge for a terrible act of violence committed against her family. Ooh, I'm gonna see that one.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know she had a follow up.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Heck yeah.
Way down with that. Let me see here. Another vote for Pet Sematary. Alia Ferrier says, I will be forever afraid of my kids near any kind of road thanks to Pet Sematary. Yeah. That's kind of how it opens up, right?
It is.
Isn't that near the beginning?
Well, no, the road is like, that's the whole big twist where, not the twist, but like the, it's a big crusher that leads to some of the action of the movie. But Fred Gwynne, who plays...
Don't go in there.
Don't go to the road, Lois. Don't go to the road, Lois.
Sam Comer, old pal, says seven when they find Sloth tied to the bed, skin and bones, mouth open, teeth exposed, presumably dead for a while. But spoiler alert. Nope. Gasp for air and he's alive. Yeah, that was pretty creepy moment. Seven was a good movie. I liked it.
Great movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I have either. A feeling that it holds up because it was so,
yeah.
It was such a like edgier version of the types of thrillers that were out. There was a big run on creepy serial killer game type movies, you know, where there's like a cat and mouse thing, but that one really took it to the next level, I think.
Yeah, totally. Nathan Van Ziel says, top fan and old pal, says the scene from One Hour Photo that it's revealed that Robin Williams has been keeping the family's pictures for a very long time. The pan up to the wall is truly unsettling.
Yep.
That was a pretty good movie.
It was. Yeah. Nice little creepy indie. Appreciated Robin Williams being willing to go that route, knowing that he was sort of this beloved comedic goofy guy. And then he certainly had some range.
Yeah, absolutely. R.I.P. Marty Willis says this. Welcome to the show, Marty. The decapitation scene in High Tension. I think it was within the first 5 minutes, too. Oof. Yeah, did you see that, Noel? Hot Tension?
Yeah, wasn't it with like a bandsaw or something? Or like a buzz saw? Or was it a wire?
I don't remember. I did see the movie, but it's a great movie.
It hasn't come up yet, Chuck, but it was a topic on the Crushers page. I don't remember what context I referenced it, but we were talking about the movie Audition.
Sure.
The Takashi Miike movie.
Yeah.
And that's that for me.
Yeah.
Because the movie just shifts so hard from this one thing to this other really intensely severe kind of traumatic horror that it catches you off guard and you're not prepared for what you're about to see. And there's a scene of dismemberment that is so creepy and subverting the typical roles of what you would think of as being like the torturer and the torturee. And it's done with this gentleness that makes you just want to die. The woman that's doing it.
Yeah.
She's saying like deep, 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 deep.
Great movie. Like,
oh my God. But some people were talking about it on the Crushers page. About
I saw
how,
that. Somebody was like, what did you make me watch, Noel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good movie.
No, that one made me get up and walk out of the room when I first saw it.
Yeah. All right, let's finish up with this. Wesley Doyle, The Nightingale. Speaking of Jennifer Kent.
Oh, boom.
He just says the baby scene won't even describe it. So.
Oh my God.
I don't,
okay.
That's... I did want to see it, but
be on the lookout for a baby scene.
Baby stuff is tough.
It is tough.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on to our second and probably final segment here. I wanted to know what people think is the best overall horror franchise as a whole, and you got to include everything. All iterations, remakes, reboots, sequels. You can't say like, well, the original Friday the 13th, but I didn't like the remakes. I want to know what people think is the best all-time horror movie franchise. Do you have one?
Huh. You know, I'm not so much a franchise guy. Like, I mean, I think some of them are fun. Texas Chainsaw is fun, but the first one's its own thing, and then the rest of them are kind of become something else. Same with Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, the first one's genuinely pretty scary, and the rest of them pivot to being this kind of, like, goofy one-liner Freddy making dark humor jokes and stuff.
It's tough for them to hold up. And it doesn't have to be a huge, like, it can be, like, a two- or three-movie run, and that counts as a franchise, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think with horror, they know they can print money, so they just keep going till they get bad, and then they reboot them, and those may not be great.
That's right.
But you know what I'm going to go with, Noel? I'm going to go with Halloween, because the original Halloweens were really good. The Season of the Witch was really interesting, kind of through modern eyes.
Odd choice, but very, it does hold up in an interesting way.
I think the Rob Zombie stuff was okay, and then I think the reboot that they just recently did was really good. So as a big package, I'm going to go with Halloween.
I mean, this is maybe too satirical or on the comedy side, but Evil Dead, all of those are great.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's sort of a different animal, kind of, you know?
Yeah, but you're right. Those are all great. And even though I didn't watch, I only watched a few episodes of the TV show, I enjoyed that. I just sort of fell away from it.
It happens.
But we're going to start out with our oldest of friends, the wonderful and winsome Stellan Carlson. He says, I would say Hellraiser because even the lesser sequels treat the franchise with some respect, i.e. they don't turn the villain into a cartoon character. I'm looking at you, Freddy and Chucky. But I'm biased since we baldies with 1,000 needles on our faces got to stick together. So Stellan has many, many piercings and on his beautiful face. And that's very funny, Stellan. I love it. You got to stick together. Linnea Barnett, one of our old pals, says Final Destination and I Will Die on This Hill. First one is a truly great horror movie, but with every sequel, it gets goofier and more over the top. And I just love them so much. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I haven't seen those movies, but I like if it's, I think that's a direction you can go in horror and still maintain your integrity. It's just to get goofy and weird and fun, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and then that's the thing. Like, I mean, we were talking about Evil Dead. The first one, you know, this can be debated, but the first one I think was trying to be a genuinely scary movie. And then they realized that what made it succeed was the fact that there were parts of it that were kind of over the top and goofy. And then they really leaned into that for two and three. And that's what makes us love it. I think two is people's favorite. One is sort of like an afterthought. Three is probably second favorite.
Yeah, love Army of Darkness. And Matt Beeman chimes in. Thanks, Matt, for saying Evil Dead, hands down. Love all the movies, even the reboot, for being a reboot and not a retread. Even the TV series was great. I did not see the reboot, the one we were just talking about. I did not see that.
Now, that's them trying to make it real scary.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sean McFarlane, one of our oldest of friends, says, I really love the Saw movies. I know the latter sequels went off the rails a bit, but I love how inventive the murder contraptions were.
That's the only reason anybody ever cares about those movies. It's like, what are they going to come up with this time? You know, the first one, I think, genuinely has a cool twist and is a cool story.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes murder machines, the movie.
Yeah. Ian Bowers always chimes in with Evil Dead, by the way. Eve Elizabeth Lee, one of our top fans and old pal, says The Exorcist. Yeah, the second one is goofy, but the awesomeness of the other two cancel it out. Nothing, for real, nothing creeps me out like Mercedes McCambridge's voice. Some great acting in the third one, too. Brad Dourif and motherfucking George C. Scott. Yeah. We'd get a vote for Nightmare, the Nightmare series. Kat Giambruno says Nightmare on Elm Street. The third movie, Dream Warriors, has a Dokken song. Beat that, other franchises. That's true. Yeah. We're the Dream Warriors.
Oh, custom for the movie?
Yeah. You don't know that
classic
song?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it was custom for the movie.
That's amazing.
Another vote for Evil Dead from Joshua Inman. But he also says this, for pure horror, The Ring pretty much helped, is pretty much the gold standard, despite the most recent entry in the American franchise. Are they still making those, I guess?
It's been a minute. I didn't think there were more than two, but maybe there are. I don't know.
They could be doing those straight to VOD type of things now, you know? Maddie Baldwin says, I love all things Scream. The slight comedic tone combined with the slasher movie is just perfect. And yes, I love all the sequels. Yeah, the Scream movies are pretty good. Michael Ormond agrees. Scream might have gone off the rails a little bit, but the Scream series was always great.
Yeah, it's so meta.
Yeah.
It's definitely satire. At least the first one's super hardcore. And then after that, it becomes like a cash in. But you like the second one, I believe. Quite well.
Yeah, Scream 2 is fine.
And then the third one seemed forgettable. But the first one is just, it was very unique at the time.
Where's Annie Reese when we need her?
Oh, God, yeah.
Here we go. Someone agrees. Nathan L. Rombalski says the Halloween franchise. Couple of duds and some complicated timelines, but the series holds up. I agree. Probably helps that I'm in the process of an October rewatch of all of them. It's fun to revisit these movies every year, isn't it, Noel?
It is. I don't have too much nostalgia for that kind of stuff. I more like to discover new things. I know a lot of people like do these, you know, rewatches around this time of year.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely, I also like watching just like garbage schlock ones like Phantasm and, yeah. you know, The Puppet Master uh-huh. and things like that. Sure. I'm a big fan of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm watching for Friday, and I think that this will be, yeah, it just had come out before this is released, but Return of the Living Dead, a movie I haven't seen before with the great Joe Garden. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow.
Is that the mall one?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Okay. Kenneth Hannon, one of our old pals, says the Universal Monster movies of the 30s and the 40s. He said it counts as a franchise because they tied it all together in Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein. Okay. I'll buy that. Steve DeVries agrees about Final Destination. Franchise took a turn that was so delightful and goofy. I need to see those at some point, I guess. A lot of Evil Dead fans in here.
Good. Good. I'm glad I wasn't off base in including that. It's weird. Like I said, it's not pure horror, but it's got horror. It's definitely horror. You know? But yeah.
Our old pal, The Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz, says, stupid, obvious choice, but the Halloween franchise. I said that too, Gail. Do some of them suck major butthole? Oh, Kuntz, what are you doing? Such filthy language. I'm going to send you some soap. Some Emily soap. Put it in your mouth. Sure, they suck major butthole, she says. But for me, it's an ultimate must watch, all of them. Yeah, I agree. I'm just giving you a hard time. Boy, Scream and Evil Dead are winning the day, Noel, in a big way.
Yeah, because of the consistency of the quality, in my opinion.
I think
that's
so.
That's why my mind went to Evil Dead, because so many of these, like, oh, the first two are cool, but a lot of times the second one of a big hit first movie sucks because they ram it through. Like, they try to make it, like Jaws 2, not good, you know, because they just tried to ram it through. Jaws 1, obviously, classic.
Yeah. Yeah. What I haven't seen in here yet is the Friday the 13th.
Because those are so wildly all over the place.
I guess so. No one's down with those as a whole.
And even the first one, not like a great movie, you know? It's definitely a B to Halloween's A, you know?
Yeah, and I think quality. Part two was, I mean, I think Friday the 13th, I haven't seen them all. This is where we need like Joe in here, but, and Ramsey, I think, has seen all those. But I think the first like three or four of those were pretty good. Robert Paulson, one of our old friends, says Dracula is always great, even camp. No, it's not a series, but the book and character has been done so many times. Yeah, I'd say that counts, Paulson. Anna, our old friend, Anna Shrestha, says, people are saying Conjuring, and I have to agree. It gets a little too sentimental at times, and the endings are kind of meh, but overall solid and scary movies. I think I might have seen the first Conjuring. Is that Lily Taylor?
The actor?
Yes.
I don't know her super well, but I really enjoyed it. Someone was asking on the Crushers page about horror movies to watch with like a youngster that's trying to get into horror. And I think I recommended that only because it's PG-13, but so many of those PG-13s are still damn scary and probably not for the youth always. But yeah, really great, great one.
Conjuring was not Lily Taylor, by the way. That was that other one. Conjuring was Vera Petrucolson and Vera Farmiga. I think I did see The Conjuring. Oh, no, she isn't it. Sorry. Lily Taylor. Stop screaming at your radios, everyone. Your transistor radios. Jesse Groom says the Child's Play movies. Joshua Ramsey agrees with Stellan, says Hellraiser. Yes, I even enjoy the later crummy ones. Guilty pleasure. Oh, here we go. Our old pal Zach Pointer says Friday the 13th because of the campiness of it all. Yeah, I knew someone would get in there at some point. Charles Ogan says the Living Dead movies all have something good in them. Let me see. The Hangover. Oh, come on. Eleni Calamara says the It franchise. Okay.
Interesting.
I guess that would count the TV, the Tim Curry version.
Yeah.
If we're counting all iterations, which you thought was silly, right?
Well, that being said, I think I've also talked about the fact that when I was a kid, it kept me up nights. Like, it absolutely wrecked me. But I rewatched it with my daughter a couple of years ago, and it just does not hold up. She thought it was comical. Like, she's just literally laughing and pointing at the screen the whole time, and there's nothing even remotely scary about it. It just didn't age well. But I don't know. Do you consider that part of the I guess it's a reboot. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I said all iterations must be counted.
That's right.
You cannot toss any.
Two of the new one was just so messy. So messy. It felt very rushed through, and I didn't really hate it, but it was also kind of like, okay, let's get to the point.
I still haven't seen that.
Yeah. The one with the kids, the first one was fun and pretty well done in my opinion, but the second one was just a bit of a slog.
I guess I have to see it, don't I?
Yeah, you have to. It's required.
Another vote for Friday the 13th from Steiner. Christopher Steiner, one of our old friends, says ranges from horror to comedy. Some of them are very laughable. I think if you have fun with it, then, you know, doesn't have to be the scariest thing in the world. Stephen Crabtree, one of our top fans, says Mr. Vampire, Hong Kong's premier hopping vampire film series that culminated in a Gods Must Be Crazy crossover. What? I've never heard this, Noel. That sounds nuts.
This exists?
That's what he said. Mr. Vampire. How can it cross over with a Gods Must Be Crazy? That is crazy.
That's the point. The producers must be crazy. I've never even seen The Gods Must Be Crazy. Isn't that the one, is this sort of like a faux documentary kind of, or?
Gods Must Be Crazy was a very small movie in the 80s, I want to say, where I think like a Coke bottle falls out of an airplane.
That's right.
Somewhere in Africa, and they end up worshiping this thing.
Got it.
Maybe.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember the Coke bottle. All of that's ringing a bell. Don't know that I ever watched the whole thing, but was aware of it.
All right, Noel, well, we lose you in 2 minutes, so that means the show is over. It's a short one, everyone.
It's okay.
But I do want to say we did not get to favorite all-time best Halloween costumes, movie-related costumes that you've gone as. And I'm going to leave that up because people have posted a lot of great ones. And then on the Movie Crushers page, the thread was started that could allow pictures. I can't, there's something about a quote unquote fan page that you can't have people comment with photos.
Oh,
I don't know why. Nothing I can do. I don't have a switch I can turn on and off. So someone started that thread on the Movie Crushers page though, and there's a lot of great photos of the Crushers and their movie related Halloween costumes over the years. And they're great.
I like it when a new franchise really takes hold and you start to see group costumes. I saw a good one for Midsommar, actually, where people are wearing the dresses and
absolutely.
The flowers and holding the mallets and stuff. You know,
totally. It's a lot of fun every Halloween because for that very reason, people pick up on the new stuff. I would love to see one of those dresses. That's a good chance for creativity right there.
Agreed.
So thank you, everyone. This has been a fun, scary Halloween month. Noel, I think you might be hopefully going to sit in on one more round table that we haven't yet recorded.
Awesome.
But this is it for the minis for Halloween. And I look forward again to next year. These are always a lot of fun diving down the horror, thriller, terror aisles of the
theater. Horror hole.
The horror hole.
The murder hole. Yeah.
So thanks to you, buddy. And thanks to you guys for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponxty Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.